20 minutes past 7 o'clock. Joining us now in the KYMN studios here is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Good morning, Matt. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Jeff. What a beautiful day. A little bit of rain. We've had a lot of rain, but it's a beautiful day to have a little cooler, a little rain.
You know, it has been a while since you've driven here in a car.
I know it has. Yes.
You've been on the bike, for all spring long.
Yeah, I'm not about riding my bike in the rain.
I know. Don't blame you there. You know, we saw you yesterday. Yeah. Rich and I were talking. You were giving presentations about the proposed ballot coming up in November. That was, what, your 38th presentation?
Well, it would be the 38th event. And okay. What we look at is we're looking at how we've educated, our staff. Many of our staff are also voters, and they're key communicators who many people in the community want to connect with about what do they think and, what do they know about it. And so really there's three kinds of events we've been doing. One, the presentation that you saw at the Lions Club yesterday. Thanks to the Lions Club. What great community servants. I mean, really service to the community for decades and decades. And
over 100 years now.
And some really, really key leaders in the community. I think of, former Mayor Marv, who was part of the Lions Club mm-hmm. for all those years, and just great service that the Lions Club has done for our community. So I'm grateful to have been able to present. So we've got our traditional presentations. We've done those for Rotary, for Lions, the Intergovernmental Township Board. We've given several of those. We're also tabling at a number of events where we just have a table with information. We have a little spinner that you can spin and then answer a nonpartisan voter-related question and get some information about the referendum. We do that at like Third Thursdays downtown mm-hmm. and at the community market fair that was at the Dundas Dome a little bit back. And we'll be doing that also at some other events. And then we do some events where we just simply hand out some information. So like at the spring play, everybody who came in got, just a postcard size document with a QR code, some information about the referendum. But we've done 38 different events so far.
Wow. And before that, it was just one day before I saw you. We've been crossing paths a lot.
I know. It's good for me. Not so good for you, Jeff.
Yeah. Graduation. The last day of school was, last Thursday? And last then Thursday. You had a high school graduation on Sunday. If you want to see happy kids, those are places to see happy kids.
Absolutely. And happy parents and happy grandparents. And you were at graduation on Sunday. What a great day. Little windy, but we'll always take wind over rain or extreme heat. Mm-hmm. So, you had to do a little effort to keep your mortarboard on. But if that's the biggest thing we're dealing with, we're in great shape on graduation day. Really want to thank some behind-the-scenes folks. So our custodial crew, setting up and taking down graduation, it's an effort. And I understand that they had gotten all of the chairs set up on Sunday morning, ready to go once they knew the weather was going to be good enough. And the gust of wind came through and knocked them all down and set them back up again. And so just, thanks to our custodial crew, Tracy Clausen, our grounds coordinator, and, all the other head custodians and custodians who help with that, just behind the scenes, their work is really appreciated. Of course, always wonderful to celebrate our graduates. I moved here in 2009, Jeff, so I've been working in the school district since these children were in preschool, since these graduates were children in preschool. And so it's one of the beauties of having a staff here in our community that has longevity is that we've gotten to see these kids grow. And what amazing student speeches. Weren't they fat? They were just fantastic.
And they always are. They always are. I mean, you just pick the,
just
pick the best.
Great stuff. And if you look at that and you think, okay, we're going to be all right in the world. So 315 graduates on Sunday, thanks to Shane Beyer, high school principal, Lori Christofferson, and the high school office. They do all the ceremony work in Haljavon with our band, and there's all the folks that help put that together. And thanks to the parents of the graduates who have trusted us with a really important part of their family life, their children's education. And we wish them luck as they move on into the next phase of life.
All right, so let's move on to the next phase of the interview. You had a school board meeting last night. You had mentioned you've been with these kids since they were in preschool. Yeah. Child care was part of the discussion last night as well. Tell us about that.
So we had a work session before the regular board meeting, and a work session for our school board. We don't do a ton of them each year, but a work session is something that's focused on one topic. So from 4 to 5:30, the board met. We don't record those. It's more of a committee meeting kind of format, so it's less formal than a regular board meeting, but it's really intended to get more deeply into one topic. So board members were there. Our director of community education, Aaron Bailey, was there. Our Ventures coordinator, Ventures is the name of the program that we have for childcare for both our Early Ventures program, which is held out of the Northfield Community Education Center, and then our Kid Ventures program, which is our before and after school childcare that occurs at each of our three elementary schools. So Breezy Barrett was there. Sarah Line, who's also one of our early childhood leaders, was also there. Val Murdestorf, our finance director, obviously. And we spent 90 minutes really grounding the board in the reality of the dilemma of childcare. This discussion started when Aaron Bailey presented the community education budget and showed that, you know, we had some federal stabilization funds for childcare in the last couple of years, but those are running out. And now childcare is really difficult to break even. It's very expensive to run. It's also very expensive for families to participate. There are scholarships. We are at what's called a 4-star parent aware rated childcare system, which means we can give state scholarships to families, and families can also use state scholarships that they receive to choose us. So we started with that community education budget presentation about the challenges that we forecast moving forward. Aaron did a presentation at the last board meeting very specifically about the context of our child care situation here in Northfield. And then last night we got to dive in even deeper. So we talked about the rules that are govern our program through the Department of Human Services. The Minnesota Department of Education doesn't govern child care. The Minnesota Department of Human Services does, and that's all really administrated through counties. And so we are a licensed child care center provider. We talked about the kinds of services that we provide, the areas where we have the greatest need. We shared a few different reports looking at the capacity of childcare and how many people really need childcare. We talked about the cost of it. We talked about the challenges of the costs. And if you talk to young families, in fact, I just had an email from a staff member last week, just total happenstance. Staff member's been with us for quite some time. They have an elementary school student. They've lived in another community but just bought a house in Northfield. And they also have an infant now. And trying to find childcare is very difficult. All of our early ventures programs are full very shortly after they open registration. We have enough infants on a waiting list. We could add an entire additional infant classroom next year. It's not as simple as just doing that.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you about, yeah, how many are in, can you give our listeners an idea how many kids are enrolled in this and how many could be but are not? You know, are these, and what is, are they falling through the cracks? Do they have, you know, obviously the parents have to do something with them.
Well, I think that there's a, so the DHS governs mm-hmm. how many children per staff member that you can have. So you have to have a ratio of one staff member for so many students. Obviously, there's one staff member for fewer infants than there are for one staff member per five-year-olds. So our programs, essentially, we have a infant room that can handle up to 16 infants. And there's enough people looking for infant care in the community that we could open another room in its entirety. Now, the trouble is that you don't really want to just open the infant room. When you open the infant room, what a lot of child care providers would like to do is provide families some clarity that they would be able to continue to use your service until they become school-aged. So that's the challenge, Jeff. It's just not about opening one room. And then in addition, when we talk about infant and toddler rooms, they require a little bit of a different setup, right? So we're fortunate right now, our infant room and our toddler room at the NCEC, they're in enclosed rooms. So one of them is the former art room from the former Greenville Park. The other is a former music room. So we're engaging with some architects this summer to take a look at what would it take to create another room within the NCEC that could handle toddlers and infants, and how what we would be able to do internally to bring those rooms so you could soundproof and some of those kinds of things. But there are a lot of people who are looking for childcare. And so the fact is that we are full at those, and we even have waiting lists at our elementary schools for school-age childcare. We have a really quality, we have quality, but we also haven't had the same staffing challenges at the NCEC in our Early Ventures program that so many other young child care programs, you know, preschool child care programs have. We have the opposite with Kid Ventures. We struggle to get staff because if you think about that, that's a split shift. So you have like a 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. or so a shift in the morning and then an after-school shift. And so if anybody out there is interested in helping us with school-age childcare, look at our website. We'd be happy to have you help us, especially early mornings before school. So the fact is that we have right now, there are I'm looking for the data. I'll bring the complete data for you back the next time, mm-hmm. Jeff, okay. just to talk. But what I will tell you is that they are full. And the challenge that we have is if we open up another room, the cost that we're charging doesn't cover right now the entirety of what it actually takes to run the program. And so you have this dilemma. We have people who need childcare. And this is not just North. This is the whole state, right? It's a statewide issue. So you have the dilemma where we need to charge. We need to charge, right? It's a four-fee program. But if we charge as much as what we know the program is going to cost, the specific Early Ventures program, what's going to happen is the cost then becomes too great for so many people. So everyone is in this dilemma of how do you handle the revenue and expenditure to make sure that you're breaking even. That had been helped the last few years by some federal stabilization money. We're now back into this point where we don't have that stabilization money. For a number of years, we would be able to offset the loss, if you will, in the Early Ventures program with the revenue from the Kid Ventures program. But because we're able to take less kids in the Kid Ventures program because of a lack of staff, that creates some issues for the financial mm-hmm. stability of it. So the point of this process last night was really to say, okay, what space should we play in childcare? And getting the board to think about what would the next steps be for us to help solve the issue if we want to solve the issue or help be a part of solving the issue more so than what we are right now.
Once again, Superintendent Matt Hillman is with us. Let's move on. Last night, you got at the regular meeting, the school board did approve the actual ballot language. We had talked about this in prior conversations here, that the wording has to be very careful on the ballot. And you've got it down now?
It does. It absolutely does. And the board did approve the ballot language and calling the election. There's a specific terminology that you have to do legally in terms of to call the election and identify the ballot language. So when the board approved us moving forward with a three-question bond referendum in March, they directed us to take the next steps to be able to put that on the ballot. One of those was the review and comment, which is something we submit to the Minnesota Department of Education. We did that last month. The next one is this resolution calling for the election. And so it did approve three bond questions. We use a law firm, Dorsey & Whitney. They're one of two law firms in the state that specialize in writing this ballot language. So they wrote the ballot language for us, and the board approved it last night. And then, of course, with every ballot, with every language that you have on the ballot, we have a responsibility as a school district to make sure that what is captured in a paragraph or so in legalese is translated so that people who are voting on the issue know exactly what the impact would be of voting yes or no. And you heard some of our voter education yesterday direct, Jeff. So do you have any feedback for us about how we're are we giving the community enough information?
The presentations, at least the one yesterday and your conversations here on the radio station, I'm really impressed with the openness, the honesty, and the directness of the presentation you've been giving. Now, folks, you may like it, you may not like it, you may vote for it, you may not vote for it, but I don't think you can fault the school board and Matt Hillman for not informing you of that.
Well, and that's what we want. We want to make sure that people, when they go to the ballots as early as September 20th, because of early voting, that we have our unofficial campaign, educational campaign motto is no stone left unturned, mm-hmm. and wanting to make sure that everyone who would like to learn more has the chance to do so. So later today or tomorrow, we'll be posting what the ballot will look like on our website. We'll have a side-by-side comparison of saying, here's what the ballot language says, and here's how we're describing it locally, so people can connect those dots. And we have several months now before Election Day, and so we have a lot of time to make sure the community is very clear about what they're voting on, for or against.
Sticking with Election Day, you will be electing, or I should say, we will be electing some new, perhaps new board members, some old board members. I'm not really sure, but there are some seats that will be up for election this year. When is the filing period? It's a little bit different than the city and state governments.
Exactly. So in Minnesota, school districts do have the option, just like city councils do, to run a primary. And that would be for districts where they know they're going to have a massive field of people every time. In our district, we have not chosen to have a primary. So our election is in conjunction with the general election on November 5th. And so last night, the board did take the resolution that starts that process of the filing period. So there are four seats up for election this year. Those are the seats held by Chair Claudia Gonzalez-George, Vice Chair Corey Butler, Noel Stratmone, longtime board member, and also a longtime board member, Amy Gerwitz. Those four seats are up for election in November. And so the filing period this year will run, and this is set by the Secretary of State. This isn't something we get to determine locally. So the Secretary of State, to make sure that these filing periods are the same across the state, gives direction. And that filing period opens this year on July 30th, and it closes at 5 o'clock on August 13th. And so we'll have information on our school website. We'll, of course, get it to you for, you know, Logan and your crew who are doing the election work to make sure that people who are interested in doing this important work, stepping into the public arena and helping the community by leading through the school board. Anyone who's interested in that, if you have an interest in running for school board, you want to learn a little bit more about it, feel free on our website. If you go to school board, we have a section on elections, and there's some videos and some other information from the Minnesota School Boards Association about what it means to be a school board member. It's a little bit of a different governance than city council or state government. And of course, if you have an interest in knowing more about the school district and you're thinking about running for school board, I'd be happy to meet with anyone. Just call our office, 507-663-0629, and Anita Ozzie would be happy to set up an appointment just to talk about where the school district is at, what does it mean to be a school board in Northfield, how does the system work, what's your time commitment, you know, things like that. So the board did take the action last night to get that process started.
Superintendent Hillman from the Northfield School District is with us. You know, we're done with school. I would imagine there's probably going to be some summer schooling going on at some point.
Started yesterday.
Do they? They'll get Juneteenth.
Yes,
off, right. Absolutely. That's coming up. Yep. We do have a relatively new national holiday in recent years, and at least they get a day off the first couple of weeks.
Juneteenth. You know, is celebrating when African Americans in Texas learned about emancipation at the end of the Civil War, and it's been widely celebrated in some other states for years, but the legislature made it a state holiday in the 2023 legislative session. And so we are hosting on June 19th at 5 p.m. Something, it's a Juneteenth celebration that is very Northfield. So we're hosting an academic lecture. So at 5 p.m. For the first 100 people, we will be having a meal catered by Mama Sheila's out of Minneapolis. And so it's going to be quite a good meal for people to show up and enjoy that together, a sense of community. And then Dr. Yolanda Williams, who's a professor of African-American literature and culture from the University of Minnesota, will provide the lecture. Our graduating Black Student Union president or chair, Patricia Owusu, will also give a few words, as well as one of our Black Parent Advisory Committee members, Kamisha Nguyen, will also welcome folks. And so it starts at 5. That's the meal. The lecture starts at 6. And we welcome everyone from the community to attend, really to celebrate this really wonderful moment in our history, emancipation, obviously a big part of American history, and it's an opportunity for us to celebrate that. And so we want to come together and learn more and have community. So 5 p.m., mm-hmm. June 19th, Northfield High School. The meal is in the lower cafeteria. The lecture is in the auditorium. Want to thank our sponsors. So this is sponsored by the community. So Nuger is one of our core sponsors, as well as Northfield Racial, Ethnic, and Equity Coalition and Northfield Promise. So those three entities, a couple other private donations by some anonymous individuals are going to help make sure that that is all covered.
All right. I don't know about the other speakers, but I did witness Patricia Owusu speak at the high school graduation. Wow, she is a wonderful public speaker. She did a great job.
Patricia is going places. She's. We're going to hear more about Patricia in a very positive way as her career goes on.
What else do we have? Oh, you know, we've just finished up the legislative session. Yeah. We got to talk a little bit about that. Was there any really, I didn't hear a whole lot of discussion about schools within that, not being a budget year and such, but did you have some legislation that you were watching?
So we pay very close attention to the legislature. We have a legislative action committee. Believe it or not, Jeff, in the winter and spring, we get about 15 people who show up every other Saturday to a Zoom call just to get updates on education legislation in St. Paul and how it might affect the school district and how we can advocate with the legislature to help improve school funding and to improve other regulations and statutes that affect schools. So you're right. Second session, there was no bonding bill. Too bad that didn't get done. Might have gotten done at the last minute, but just ran out of time. And this year was really a technical fix year for a lot of the. There was really a historic amount of legislation in the 2023 session. For schools, mostly in this session, there were a lot of technical fixes, things like the READ Act and some other things. So not a ton of brand new things, but there are quite a few technical fixes that will affect us. So we're going through that right now, and we're going line by line, and we're making sure that we are prepared to execute all of those things that the legislature has asked us to do.
All right. Matt, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
There is one more piece I just want to mention. We talked about this the last time, that the school district, the board last night did approve selling a very small piece of property out by our Gleason shop, our Dundas shop. And it's, again, a very small piece. It's about 13,000 square feet. We had an offer for this very. If you know where I'm talking about, out in Dundas, as you're traveling south, it would be on the east side of Highway 3. Ruth's on Stafford Catering Services back there in our Dundas shop, where we keep snow removal equipment, we keep paper. It's our locksmith. It's all sorts of stuff that we do out there. That road that goes in between, Lance Manti, a local entrepreneur, purchased a small portion of our property so he could gain access to property that he owns behind Ruth's and behind the school district shop, with the intention of setting up a business that would really provide therapy and services to families with children with autism. And so, again, it's not even a buildable lot, 13,000 square feet. I learned that to be a buildable lot, it's got to be at least 15,000 square feet. The appraised value of $18,000 is what the agreement is. And then Lance and his team have agreed to pay all of the other fees that are associated with the sale and transfer of property. And so, you know, we had the appraisal done. We also had another local respected realtor help us taking a look at that. Pete Mergens took a look at it for us to make sure everything looked right in terms of just the cost and the appraisal and all those things. So really just a good example of how we can do a small part to help build our tax base by allowing a new business to start to cultivate here in the community.
All right. Now, just to be clear on that, you sold just a portion of the land, so you still have the building, and it's fully functional,
you
and
bet.
Everything goes.
All we did is sold a small part of the driveway, if you will. So.
All right. Superintendent Matt Hillman with us. Matt, thank you so much for coming in. Much appreciated.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.
And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Take care.